This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Christine Wong, and you're listening to Open for Business. Now, with the rise of e-commerce and digitalization, it's more important than ever for SMEs to streamline their logistics and supply chain processes. To discuss that and more, I have co-founder of digital supply chain platform Hatio Group, Bernard Hoare, on the line today.
Thanks, Christine. So my name is Bernard, and I'm the group CEO and co-founder of Hatio. We founded in Seoul in South Korea back in 2012. A little bit of backstory is that our last company was basically acquired by Samsung in 2011. And that we were very much focused on manufacturing then, manufacturing systems. And then we went on to start and founded Hatio together with my co-founders, my current co-founders in 2012. Around 2016, so the history is that we had a very good opportunity, and we were privileged to work with some big names like CJ Logistics, one of the really big logistic companies in South Korea. And so what we do with CJ is a lot of their automation. So about 5, 6, or 7 years back, you know, when this whole automation thing kicks in. And so Hatio handles a big chunk of what all the automation stuff that's happening in CJ. And then, of course, we had the opportunity to work with the guys from Lazada, where we power up the entire Lazada mega centers down in Shenzhen. And also when iHerb.com, the online pharmacy marketplace, when they wanted to set up their regional distribution hub in Incheon, that's where we had another great golden opportunity as well. So what really happened was in some time mid to late 2018, the leadership of Hatio decided to say, you know, hey, look, maybe it's time for us to, you know, kind of like leave our comfort zone and seek the other region, right, and see how we scale this business. So that's what we did. And at that time, the South Korean government, was very active in basically supporting and helping and asking and encouraging the startups to look for the other regions, right, to expand their market footprint. So in late 2018, we finally expanded our market footprint in Southeast Asia. And of course, naturally, because I'm Malaysian, so it was a very natural progression. It's like a move back home. And then that's where we started the Hatio Southeast Asia's business unit. That's basically us and how big of a history of how we came to Southeast Asia currently. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. So Hatio defines itself as a digital supply chain platform. So tell me a bit about exactly what that is and just define that in layman's terms.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So it's basically we position ourselves as the cloud supply chain, right? To look at it from a very layman picture, right, mm-hmm. is basically you look at the right now, of course, what you see in the supply chain and logistics space is a lot of last mile, right? You see mm-hmm. a lot of the Grab bikes and the food pandas, you know. So the last mile, and then of course you have the mid mile, right, where the distribution centers and warehouses is, and also of course the first mile, right. So if you look at it from the first mile, the mid mile, and the last mile in this space, and in the Southeast Asian region, it is actually very disconnected. Mm. So you know it's like and it works in silos, right? So the first mile and the mid mile and the last mile currently, or rather what we've observed, works is very disconnected and it works in silos, right? A lot of digitalization, a lot of technology focus, and as you can see, a lot of startups, right, are coming up around the last mile area, right? There's a lot, there are many players there. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you look at the last 18 months, right, I mean, coming back to the topic of COVID again, right? Mm. So COVID has really upended, you know, and disrupted the entire traditional supply chain, right?
Yeah.
Google, Temasek, and Bain did a research recently, and they reported that, you know, over the last 12 months alone, in 2020 alone, it's like there's 40 million new users on the internet in Southeast Asia alone, right? So that's like a huge jump compared to the last 5 years, right? So e-commerce has basically disrupted and you know the whole traditional supply chain, and more brands and it's kind of like bring more and more brands shifting their strategies to direct to consumers, right? Mm. And that has become the one key reason for the arms race, in the last mile delivery, and this has basically put a very great impact to the middle mile as well, right? So for brands and retailers today, you know, it's really about maintaining competitive pricing and healthy margins, right? Mm. And in order to do that, you really have to tighten your supply chains, right? So the where this opportunity lies really is in the middle mile, right? So and of course, the result and outcome of that really is to being able to offer prices, you know, that's very competitive. Or lower than the digital retailers, you know, and it's how you keep the customers coming back, right? Mm-hmm. So if you connect this last mile and this middle mile and the first mile together, right, that's where you have the entire supply chain, right? So what we saw really was how do we then connect these dots and bring this entire process, right? And focus our technology on helping particularly the middle mile players to digitalize, mm-hmm. automate, and centralize their operations, right? So you're talking about the warehouse operators, the third-party logistic guys. You're talking about the distributors that runs their distribution centers. You're talking about the retailers, particularly the e-commerce retailers these days, right? So that's where the cloud supply chain becomes an end-to-end platform in connecting the start of the process from the supply all the way to demand, which is the end consumers.
Hmm.
So this is basically what the cloud supply chain is.
So essentially your goal is to make the entire supply chain smoother and more cohesive, essentially, so that, you know, as you mentioned, those jumps between first mile, middle mile and last mile are less abrupt. And, you know, you really have that smoother connection between all three so that the whole supply chain can run a lot smoother.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's not only about, you know, it's not only about basically making the whole supply chain run a lot smoother, because I think that's like the whole generic picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you start looking into the finer details of what it means by making the whole supply chain running smoother,
mm-hmm.
It really impacts cost, right?
Yes,
so cost to customers, right? It really impacts the profit margins, the margins of the brands, of the product owners. It really impacts the delivery time, right? Today, consumers like you and I, right? When we buy something from Lazada or Shopee, it's like you click add to cart or you click checkout now, buy now. You want it to be delivered yesterday. Right? It's like it's not even 3 days. Anything that's 3 days, like let's see who can deliver faster. That kind of thing, right?
Mm.
Like consumer demands is definitely rising, and there really is a lot of, you know, just a lot of people. In fact, even in my close circle, there's so many people just trying to crack that formula of how do we bring product closer to the customers, right? Mm. How do we bring the flow of goods, you know, from point A to point B? We have more transparency, better visibility, better supply chain forecast and planning. So all that comes into play, you know, and I really think that the cloud, it is high time that the whole supply chain, to put it simply, right, it's high time that the whole supply chain move into the cloud, and being able to have that, you know, if you imagine like a control tower, right, that oversees, you know, the entire supply to demand. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, consumer demand at the moment, it's screaming for, you know, the convenience and quality and price all at the same time, which is so difficult to deliver on, right? I think especially the pandemic has shifted a lot of that consumer sentiment to that accessibility and convenience. You know, you want things to show up at your door, like you said yesterday, because you couldn't go out to get it yourself half the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, I think that definitely the pandemic has made such an impact on what the expectations are for the logistics industry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's the one key thing that we see almost every day. And we see through the lenses of our customers, which is the retailers, the e-commerce retailers, you know, the 3PL logistics, because the 3PL logistic guys serves the retailers, right?
Right.
So they're also on pressure. They're also under pressure to, you know, it's like everybody's under in this whole logistics space, right? It's just under pressure to perform, right?
Mm-hmm,
and if you look at the past 18 months, You know, retail malls are, you know, we have so low footfalls in the retail malls. You know, a lot of businesses are closing down or rather not operating. But the one key sector that has never stopped and never stopped sleeping, right, is basically the logistics and supply chain.
Yes.
You know, people are just buying and buying more, right? Mm. More disposable income, right? You don't think twice buying e-commerce these days, even though you don't need it, right? So, so there's more. There's definitely more pressure to perform, which is why a lot, in fact, what we have been observing over the last 18 months especially is that, you know, a lot of these traditional 3PLs and even traditional retailers that is falling back on e-commerce have reached that point and beyond to say that, you know, they've no more choice but to, you know, if you're not powered up by a technology, chances are you won't be able to future-proof. And you know, it's like, because before this, nobody actually really kind of like empowered enough to future-proof their business, right?
Right.
You know, whether it's their warehouse or, you know, their retail business.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly COVID hits, you know, COVID hits and we are the generation that don't understand lockdown, right? I mean, never experienced lockdown, suddenly cannot go out from house. Okay. So that has changed a lot of things. The customers that we work with, the customer segments that we work with, has really been under a lot of pressure to really digitalize and digitize their entire operations. Yeah.
Mm. So in terms of, you know, education and being able to transition a lot of traditional companies into digitalizing, you know, the pandemic has really forced their hand here. You know, they can't afford to have the if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of mentality anymore because everything broke during the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting. Now, we're going to take a short break for some messages, but after that, I will continue speaking to Bernard from Hatio Group, a digital supply chain platform on Open Firm Business here on BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong and I have Bernard Hoar, who is the Group CEO and co-founder of Hatio Group on the line. It's a digital supply chain platform. And before the break, we talked a little bit about what exactly that is and also the state of the logistics industry, how they were affected by the pandemic as well. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Hatio Group themselves, because you guys do use a lot of automation, as you mentioned, a lot of technology. So I do want to ask a question here about funding, because all of that and that initial investment, I must imagine, to acquire all of that must have been quite a dent in the wallet. So tell me a bit about that. What was your strategy there?
So when we were operating out in Korea,
mm-hmm.
We were very kind of like a very SI model, right? So but the things that we're doing in Korea was a lot of warehouse controls and warehouse execution systems, right? So we're talking about robotics. Right, robotic picking arms, automated guided vehicles, Internet of Things, a lot of pick-to-light stuff, you know, a lot of sensors, RFIDs. So that was the business our foundation, where our strong foundation came from. But when we came to Southeast Asia, the one thing that we decided, in a very disciplined and very focused manner, is that we say we don't want to be an SI anymore, right? We've got to change our business model. Mm. So. You know, I have to admit that in late 2018, when we first came here, expanded our market footprint in Southeast Asia, we didn't know what exactly that was. And we still had that whole crazy idea about, you know, bringing the whole automation of all these robotic picking arms and all these auto carousels and all that to Southeast Asian market, right? However, we spent about 4 to 5 months traveling across the key markets in Southeast Asia, speaking to a lot of people, especially a lot of local SMEs, right? And I remember, like, for example, in Malaysia, I mean, the amount of bak kut teh session that I have just to learn from all these, you know, all these old warehouse operators, these traditional guys, right, about their operations and why, you know, the hesitance, or rather why they're not empowered to go that route of digital, right? Mm. So we learned after 4 to 5 months, we kind of very quickly learned that, hey, you know what? Actually, the Southeast Asian market, not to say that people cannot afford all these things, but the market isn't ready for it.
Mm.
It's like, you know, it's like you want to go all the way there, you got to have at least a base, right? You got to have a base of your digital ready.
Mm.
And then you talk about robotics, and then you talk about the rest of the, you know, high flying stuff. So number one is the market wasn't ready, right? And there wasn't enough volume, especially in Malaysia, right? There wasn't enough volume for them to justify that kind of spending.
Right.
You're right. It is not cheap. You know, everybody loves the idea. Everybody, you know, I remember when we were doing our market study late 2018, and whenever we went out there and we talk about robotics, you know, we're like, uncle, you know, this is how you can have your warehouse. Wow, everybody like, wow, but then this is my dream warehouse. What's the cost? After
yeah.
you the cost, they never respond anymore. So we're like, okay. And then I remember there was one night, you know, I was on, we went back to the drawing board, me and my co-founders, you know, Mr. Nam, myself, Zen. We went back to the drawing board and we say, hey, look, what do we do, right? But however, as we were studying the market, we saw an opportunity, right? And we saw an opportunity among the local SMEs. Number mm-hmm. one, the country of Southeast Asia is basically powered, you know, the economy of Southeast Asia is powered by, you know, 85-90% of SMEs, right?
Yes.
So we saw the whole huge addressable market of these guys who are still on pen and paper. So you're talking about, yeah, like, just imagine these warehouse operators, these huge distribution centers, right? Flow of goods have no visibility, pen and paper or Microsoft Excel, or they use accounting systems to run inventories, right? And you know that cannot scale. I mean, it works for many years, but now we're talking about a new, and of course, especially what happened in the last 18 months, right? So they know that cannot happen anymore, right? So that's where we pull ourselves and say, hey, let's make our mandate really, really simple, right? So we came to an agreement on a very simple mandate and say our Hatio's mandate is to help local SMEs digitize.
Mm.
That's about it. Mm-hmm. Let's forget about this whole robotics and all the sexy stuff, right? Let's just say help local SMEs digitize.
Mm-hmm.
And yep, that's where our starting point is.
Mm. I mean, as fun as robotic arms are, you know, I think it's sort of like trying to convince someone to cook paella when they don't even know how to steam rice. You know, you can't, you know, you really can't, you know, demand that sort of, I guess, progress from people who haven't even gotten off the ground yet, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's really interesting. And that those conversations as well, because that was actually a question I was going to ask you, was like, how difficult was it to convince a lot of these traditional companies to, you know, that this was a good idea, right? But as you mentioned, the pandemic really made an impact in that, you know,
yeah.
Whatever consumer education you wanted to do, I think COVID kind of did it for you in a way.
Yeah. So COVID was, I mean, not nice to say this, but COVID was kind of like blessing in disguise for the business. We were worried. In the beginning, we were worried. We were worried that we're going to go out of business because we never experienced lockdown. We don't know what it's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to your question, is like the way we do it was, I mean, of course, I enjoyed the Bak Kut Teh sessions. I mean, I don't mind Bak Kut Teh many rounds. But the way we did it was, we said, okay, so we found a formula, right? We said, okay, in order for us to execute our mandate effectively, there must be two things that we must do right. So because what we have and what we've been doing in Korea all this while in that market was like, you know, it's like a BMW i8, right? The luxury version of a car.
Right.
So I remember asking my co-founders, right? I went to the table and said, hey, look, this is what we're going to do, right? We're going to bring that BMW i8 because Korea is an advanced nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And things are expensive, talents are expensive, everything's expensive there.
Mm.
So we said, we're going to bring this BMW i8 into Malaysia, into the Southeast Asian market, and we sell it at Toyota price. Now, we got to have that first. So the whole idea is to make it affordable.
Mm.
You got to find a way by hook or by crook to make it affordable because supply chain technologies in the middle mile, we are talking about warehouse management software, inventory management, these are not cheap stuff. These are really expensive stuff, which is why a lot of local SMEs, they just, okay, I just use accounting system to do my inventory, is fine, right?
Yeah.
So when you want all these things, it's not cheap, which is why so many businesses are not on that bandwagon yet, right? So we say, okay, one, make it affordable, right? Two, we got to make it really, really agile. That means it's got to have speed, very fast, fast to deploy, fast to respond, and it must be very flexible. It cannot be rigid. Because once it's rigid, you actually kill the whole economy there, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, want to customize this, cannot, you know, want to do integration, can, but more cost, right? Mm. So flexible means the cost must be controlled as well.
Right.
So the way we made it affordable was, and I think we were like one of the first, very first few guys that, and our first product was actually a warehouse management software, right? Mm. And we turned the entire warehouse management software business model into a SaaS model. So instead of like, So the entry level, let me give you an idea of what is this like, right,
sure. Christine?
The entry level of a warehouse management software is like $500,000 onwards, right? Entry level. So we say, okay, look, let's make the entry level 1/10 of the price. And how do we do that, right? So we turn it into a monthly subscription and we bill annually. The kind of response that we always get from our 3PL customers especially is, oh, when they hear about our price, finally, notice that for the first time when I talk about price, people actually respond and respond positively and say, wow, Bernard, this is music to my ears. Like, okay, now we got the game, right?
Because that's the biggest hurdle, right? You know, it's that terrifying thought of having to invest so much into, you know, a system that you're not even necessarily ready to use. So that's a really huge part of, I guess, making the prospect less scary for a lot of local SMEs.
Yeah, that's right. But you see, Christine, you see the as a matter of fact, right? The one interesting fact here is that I remember, right, our first two clients, right, client 001 and client 002. Our first two clients gave us the contract, or rather say okay and yes to us. That means the first two clients bought our product before we even have a product.
Mm.
We have not even built the product. We sold thin air to these guys. We sold a whole bunch of concepts to these guys, sold a whole bunch of frameworks to these guys, right?
But you've delivered now. I think that's the important part.
Right. And we're like, so because the idea of like, okay, who's going to fund building the product?
Right.
So we've got our first two customers. Mm-hmm. I remember our first customer is this 3PL running a 400,000 square feet, really old uncle, 40 years business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when he asked us about this and he's like, I remember when he asked me, Bernard, so how much is your system? You know, I don't even have a price in my mind. And I just like, okay, if the entry price is 500,000, you know, that they're looking at all this while, let me just try 300,000. Let's see whether he bites. So I just blurted out in the meeting. I said, $300,000, 300,000. Say, okay.
Hmm.
But then you have a deal. I said, okay. Right. Now we've got our first 300,000, right? And then we went to the second guy 2 weeks later. It's a core room, right? Mm-hmm. Core room warehouse. We went to the second guy. And then again, same question, Bernard, how much? And I said, hey, $250,000. Okay, but then we have a deal. So I went back to the team. I said, hey guys, I think we just raised our seed funding.
Mm.
$500,000 from two clients, enough to build our product. Enough, right? Okay, enough. Let's do it right now.
Right.
So we kind of delivered really fast to these guys. But I think I just want to say that I think we're really blessed to have these two first, you know, our first group of customers are the first group of four to five customers who really had the patience with us, trusted us with their inventory. I do not know how and why. You know, and really just taught us everything that they knew. It's like, you know, the whole 30 years of experience of how I send and deliver goods and handle goods, right?
Mm.
They download it to us. And then actually what we do is just we turn it digital only lah. And then we sell it back to them.
Well, right. You know.
So it's kind of cool to really learn from that. Yeah. So I think, I guess all those bak kut teh sessions kind of paid off.
Absolutely. All right, Bernard, I've got a final question for you here as we're running out of time. What are the plans for the future of Hatio?
Right. Interesting question. So the plans for Hatio has really changed since when we started in 2018, 2019 here in Southeast Asia. And then the last 18 months has again upended all our plans. And now we have new plans, right? But I think our plans for future moving forward is number one, we are really going to focus on our growth. We are at the growth point right now.
Mm.
We have a very steady product. We have really good customers. We've been slowly churning our competitors as well. So we're really going to focus on our growth in our Southeast Asian key markets, especially Indonesia, Philippines, and Vietnam in the next 18 months. That's number one. Number two is that we're going to continue to build a really strong network of third-party logistics providers across Southeast Asia in a bigger picture of a grander scheme of things where we want to really build a whole network distribution in Southeast Asia itself.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the number three is really to focus on our a very fast-growing segment, which is the e-commerce retailers. And we were really, really focusing on this market and to being able to enable them to sell better, sell faster, and sell more. Yeah. So that's the three key plans that we're very focused on in the next, say, 18 to 24 months. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me all today about Hatio Group.
Thank you so much, Christine.
I'm Christine Wong. You've been listening to Open for Business. I've been speaking to Bernard Hoare, who is the co-founder and group CEO of the digital supply chain platform Hatio Group. If you've missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and go to our website, that's bfm.my, to listen back and download the podcast. You can also go on the Apple App Store or Google Play and find our app, where you can also listen to us and download the podcast as well. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.